Title of my message today is The Voice of God. Let me first ask, how many of you are familiar with shortwave radio? You ever listen to a shortwave broadcast? Okay, a few of you. The difference between regular radio and shortwave is that AM, FM broadcast their signal parallel to the ground. And whereas shortwave will shoot their signal up into the atmosphere, the heavens, and it bounces back down to Earth, getting a greater range. It'll even skip and on the atmosphere and come back down, and thus can send a message halfway around the world. Well, many international shortwave radio broadcasts are called the voice of this or that country, and their signal targets a select area of the world. It usually has a special message for the intended audience, the target market. The Voice of America represents the government of the United States and can be anything from light entertainment to very heavy political propaganda, and I'm sure the Voice of America is beaming into Iran right now, telling the protesters what heroes they are. Well, shortwave reception is always fluctuating, depending on the atmospheric conditions, and sometimes enemy jamming. Years ago, there was what was called the Russian woodpecker that was constantly interfering with broadcast with a tapping noise. Well, the larger voices of shortwave radio transmit their programs through the air in many different languages. For example, they can target South America in Spanish. Well, I think this is a good example, a good analogy for how we tune in to the voice of God. First, we have to turn on the radio of our minds. Well, what scriptural passage would parallel that thought? And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. And then we turn to the right frequency. Sometimes you have to adjust the dial because it drifts, although more modern shortwave radios have a locking feature now. But in the old days, I used to listen quite a bit to shortwave radio in the 70s and 80s, but with the advent of the Internet, it's kind of eclipsed the hassle of continually adjusting your dials to get a broadcast halfway around the world. Well, Adam and Eve didn't have any problems hearing the audible voice of God in the Garden of Eden because they were created perfect. They had perfect reception. But since their fall from grace, we've been experiencing all kinds of technical difficulties and poor reception. The voice of God speaks for the kingdom of heaven. However, there are other kingdoms with small g gods called religion competing for listeners, and they will resort to evil deeds by broadcasting on a frequency that they're not authorized to use. The resulting confusion is trying to listen to two voices at the same time. Order and chaos do not mix. People will turn off their radios if two programs are playing at the same time. Well, this can be compared to cognitive dissonance. And the Bible warns us about double-mindedness being unstable. Well, you know what cognitive dissonance is. I read once a pastor was writing about this, except he called it cognitive dissidence. And by using the word dissident rather than dissonance, he was giving a self-evident example of what it is. Let me explain it to you for a minute. If person one makes a statement, person two makes a similar statement, but it's slightly off, a third party will listen to that second person and assume he's saying the same thing as the first. Well, it's not the same thing. And Elijah, when he came to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions?" And I say, how long do our people today hesitate between the oxymoron Judeo-Christian? We're going to see that the voice of God is only heard by a special audience of listeners that are tuned in to the one correct frequency at the right time and the right place. That audience of listeners is the Israel people of the Bible, who are the only people God has ever made a special program for or a covenant with. Jesus said very possessively, "My sheep hear my voice," which means that there must be others who don't. The identity of these sheep tell us who the true Israel is. Do Jews hear Jesus? No, not even Messianic Jews, because they're still listening to the voice of Esau. Otherwise, why do they continue to call themselves Jews and not Christians? I've gone to the Jews for Jesus website, and nowhere do I read where they denounce and renounce the Talmud. Nowhere do they seek repentance for the vile attributes made against Jesus Christ. Now, this may come as a shock to some Judeo-Christians, but the real Messiah that Judaism believes in is the Jews themselves. The Great Commission was fulfilled in the first century when the good news of the Gospels was brought to the ears of white men, women, and children. And we have an accurate history where the 12 disciples went. And it wasn't the Congo or China. But throughout the centuries, not everybody within our race has an antenna, a euphemism I use for the Bible, to receive the voice of God, to get good reception. Well, we can carry the analogy to seeing the face of God with television, but we don't need to see God as much as we need to hear Him. Being Father's Day, children can see their daddy, but they don't always hear him. Ever hear a parent say, "Did you hear me?" Jesus Christ came as the physical manifestation of God, the Word made flesh. And the controversy for the last 2,000 years isn't what He looked like, but what He said. And since the time of His glorification, some of our people, not all, have personally heard the voice of God. Why? Because His sheep hear His voice. What then, pray tell, are these Pentecostals and Charismatics hearing? Most likely they're replaying the tapes in their head of their world-conformed preachers and listening to the voices in their head modeled from a Charlton Heston movie. They purport to have gotten a word from the Lord, but their antennas are so mangled, like a coat hanger with aluminum foil, that they are receiving a pirate station and not the voice of God. I'm not sure if it's an audible sound, but the Bible talks about a still, small voice, which leads me to believe that the Word of God is the voice of God, and we can hear by reading it. Well, it gets worse. Pastor Elmore mentioned the New Age, New Agers this morning. It gets worse with best-selling books like Conversations with God that have nothing to do with Christianity. You know it's a Babylonian world when Oprah's book picks can make an author an instant millionaire. Now, some of her gurus have turned out to be liars and con artists. There's only one God who speaks, and that's our God. Isaiah quotes him saying, "I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me." People may be hearing small g gods, but they are fictions and are not real. I can hear Woody Woodpecker in my mind, but that doesn't establish a cartoon character as reality. I can hear and visualize Julie Andrews singing The Sound of Music, but it's my imagination. Virtual reality games are becoming so much of a refined science that it's having a psychological impact on young, impressionable minds. Well, this is great for a government needing more cannon fodder for their Jew wars. Killing civilians is just collateral damage, like in a video game. The science is now available to project an audio-visual hologram with a Messiah coming in a theater in the sky near you. But we're giving a clue to these Masonic hijinks in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." Things aren't always what they appear to be. Our God is real. And people either have faith, meaning belief or trust in His reality, or they don't. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This hearing has to do with "he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." The hearing is in the spirit of man, or more plainly, what's in our heart. Our attitude about race is a reflection of either the God of segregation or the gods of integration. Do you know how to get rid of moles? I was watching an infomercial a couple of weeks ago, and Debbie and I really got a kick out of this because I knew I could incorporate this into the sermon. You buy a really cheap little radio and put fresh batteries in it, and you tune it into the rock and roll station, the hard rock, not the soft rock, and you place it full blast, put it on 10, into the molehill and cover it with dirt. They will flee from your property. Who says there isn't something good about rock and roll? Well, many white people just can't stand this hip-hop rap music. You know how you'll be at a stoplight sometime and some white kid is in a trance listening to this jungle beat? And I've heard by the same token that these rappers and black people, they cannot stand bagpipe music. But every time I hear bagpipe music, especially if it's live, I just get goosebumps of my Scottish heritage. Well, the non-elect may have a sense of hearing, but can never respond to the voice of God as the elect, who have the Holy Spirit. I think we can call this phenomenon intelligent design, and is the way it was supposed to be from the very beginning of creation. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I wonder how many people are hiding from the voice of God today. There may be black, brown, yellow, red stations, but they don't listen to the white station. The difference in broadcast is in hearing the voice of God and hearing the voice of strange gods. We are in a ratings competition with other programs. One can choose the simplicity that is in Christ versus the bells and whistles of Babylon. It seems to me that there are more all-black churches than there are all-white churches because of the repetitious programming about multicultural diversity. It's everywhere because most of the stations have been bought up by those who are opposed to the voice of God. Just the expression, white Christians, is odious to those who don't listen to the voice of God. But it means exactly the same thing as Israelite. Well, should we feel guilty for being Israel? I don't think so. What better way to deceive us than to declare that mongrels are God's chosen people? This is the voice of universalism. And what better way to silence white Christian with the label of hate? When in fact we love God's creation of kind after kind. Pastor Elmore spoke about hate last week. And this little buzzword has become a tool of censorship to those who hate the voice of God. Did you know hate is found 180 times in the Bible? I know, because I counted them. Continuing with Paul in Romans 10:18, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." There's your great commission for you. And it went way beyond its primary directive, so that not only every Israelite, but every person of color has heard the basic story of Jesus Christ. After the first century, the voice of God to the lost sheep of the house of Israel became blurred by the governments and state churches of man. Hebrews 3 and 4 tells us that Israel could not enter God's rest because they didn't have faith. The generation that came out of Egypt and witnessed the parting of the Red Sea partook of the manna from heaven and saw the miracles of Moses, could not enter Canaan because of their unbelief. They could have the mental persuasion that these things were of God, and yet not have the faith necessary to enter the promised land. If faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain, what's slowing us down from dealing with molehills? It is evident that God does hate certain people and nations, as it is written, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated." Likewise, the Lord intends to save the entire white race. Most people question whether God is capable of saving all of Adam kind by overruling their so-called free will, or by revealing himself to those who never had the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus Christ. The first time God's ability was in dispute was with Moses in Numbers 14, when Israel refused to enter the promised land. Moses said in verse 15 and 16 that the nations will say the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he promised them by oath. How did God respond to such negativity? He said in verse 21, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Again in Isaiah 40, verse 5, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of God hath spoken it." Now there's something to look forward to. John the Baptist was the voice crying in the wilderness, telling us to prepare the way of the Lord for his kingdom. And the prophetic bride prepares herself for remarriage with the king. How do you suppose that every knee shall bow in that day? No one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Nobody will have a gun pointed at their head. But there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth out of a deep regret for not hearing the voice of God earlier in their life. God is not mocked. Even though every tongue shall confess Christ, the point is, when will we be justified? Now or later? Justification is explained in Romans 8:1 as, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We're justified by faith. What's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, what's the bottom line in all of this? Everybody is going to witness the second coming of Christ, but not everybody will have been forgiven their sins by killing their flesh on the cross at that time. Hear the voice of God proclaim, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Don't pray for something without believing God can't do it. Don't pray as an obligation, but willingly, as a joyous routine of celebrating God's interaction with man and his intercession for us. God wants you to believe he has all the time in the world for you. After all, he owns time and space and is omnipresent. Paul says in Romans 1:17 that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is, God reveals himself to us from one level of faith to another as we hear his voice. As we hear, we grow in faith. Well, there are several levels of faith found in the Old Testament types and shadows. Israel's experiences as commemorated by the feast days of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Passover was a matter of believing that if you didn't put the lamb's blood on your doorpost, the death angel would not spare your firstborn. Pentecost was the giving of the law from the voice of God at Mount Sinai. And Tabernacles was entering God's rest in the promised land. Well, you can't go from the Egyptian Passover to the Promised Land because you cannot bypass the revelation of the law at Sinai. To do so is lawlessness. You can't read the first and last chapter of a book and expect to understand everything in between. And some people just judge a book by its cover. So what prevents us from growing in faith? People are afraid to hear God's voice and subsequently afraid to die to the flesh. Paul said he died daily because he heard the voice of God daily, starting on the road to Damascus. Instead of stepping fearlessly into the fire of God, as Moses did, people run in the other direction. God has never hidden the fact that the closer you get to hearing His voice, the more He turns up the heat. Notwithstanding, I appreciate the work done on the air conditioner this morning. But why does He do this? It's to purify our understanding of His revelations written in our hearts. Church history shows the leavening of our divine calling as the first fruits of the wheat harvest offered to God with yeast, unable to bring righteousness to the earth unless it submits to the fire and stops the leavening action. That's what you do with bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And John the Baptist said, "The Lord would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire." It always requires a sacrifice of the flesh to gain the Spirit of God. But unfortunately today, the Judeo-Christian clergy tell their congregations that adversity and tribulation is not of God and teaches the gospel of comfort and prosperity. And what does that appeal to? Our carnal desires or spiritual aspirations? Evidently, they've never read that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The rapture has the Christian avoiding the great tribulation as if the suffering hasn't been great for the last 2,000 years. Well, what's wrong with getting around a little tribulation? Romans 5:3 says, "We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance creates character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit." We're never going to graduate if we don't go through the school of hard knocks. I tell new folks to the Christian identity message that they're going to catch some flack for their beliefs. If people revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, you must be doing something right. Churchianity thinks that it can enter God's rest, the promised land, a level of faith without dying to the flesh, with no discipline in a lawless spirit. That's not how the disciples of Christ operated. Those who name it and claim it with a magic wand and worship in vain, Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man." They prefer their idols of their heart to the fire of God. It's getting more and more difficult for people to discern the idols of man. They rationalize that they don't bow down before a homemade altar of carved wood or stone, as the ancients did. But they do venerate and adore their Mercedes-Benz with a plastic Mary on the dashboard. Deuteronomy 4:28 says, "These idols neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell, Only the God of Israel hears and speaks to His chosen race. Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy 5:24, "Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and liveth." God can talk to man without killing him. It's the fire or the judgment that consumes all that is in the carnal world. It's the fire or judgment that consumes us. I don't think most people knew what they were doing when the hysteria after 9/11 prompted the bumper sticker craze for God Bless America. I don't think they ever read how blessings and curses work in Deuteronomy 28. They do not receive the blessings of the promised land until the law of the land is compliant with the voice of God. Failure to do so results in divine judgment, which is self-evident everywhere you look today. This is how the people responded to Moses in Deuteronomy 5:25. "Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived?" They didn't understand that this was the whole idea of Pentecost. God intended for them to be spiritually minded without the burdens of the flesh or worldliness. Israel had a greater fear of death than a fear of God. They didn't realize the flesh they wanted to keep alive was already dead. They didn't realize the only way to true life was through this death. One cannot find life by seeking life, but by the door of death. And that door is Jesus crucified on the cross. Jesus was giving His disciples some racial truths in John 10, where He said, "I am the door of the sheep." He was giving a parable about gaining access to the sheepfold through a gate, and said, if someone comes in another way, they are thieves and robbers. Well, who would try to get the attention of the white race that we should listen to them? Verse 5 gives us the answer. A stranger will they, the sheep, not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now this word strangers is the Greek word allotrios, number 245 in Strong's Concordance, and means not one's own, not akin, hostile, alien. Would a stranger give his life for the sheepfold? No. Wolves in sheep's clothing are out to rob you of your life. The first century church was called the Way because they heard the voice of God. And none other. God's purpose in speaking to our race is to instruct us in the ways of how things should be done. Whenever we attempt to establish our own morality of what is right or wrong, we are in opposition to what God has already established as the law. Deuteronomy 4:36 says, "Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee." Today there are voices all over the place trying to tell us what's right and wrong. Most churchgoers prefer to depend upon a preacher or a denomination to go up onto the mount like Moses to hear the word of God on their behalf. Well, there's nothing wrong with God speaking through other people. The problem comes when people hear the man and not the voice of God speaking to them. The Holy Spirit bears witness that there are things said that may touch someone in a way that was unbeknownst to the messenger. I know this has happened to me several times. There will inevitably be times when there is a diversity of opinion. 2 Peter 3:16 says there's really some things that are pretty hard to understand, especially if it hasn't been thoroughly studied. Consider also that God doesn't give one person all the answers, but spreads it around so that we all have a healthy exchange of what He gives us. Even in the primitive church, there was a diversity of thinking in what people thought they heard was the voice of God. However, by the 4th century, after the persecutions, an element of Christianity began to mutate into organized religion. It became the Catholic or universal church. It was organized religion. It became a systematic attempt by various church councils to eradicate diverse thinking and opinions and bring all men into a single view called orthodoxy. And it wasn't long before fratricidal wars were killing our race over these issues upon the altar of church law, not God's law, and mandatory unity. Soon, the Catholic Church removed the right of the people to hear the voice of God for themselves, saying it created disunity. Well, the right to hear from God came to rest upon a single man, the Pope, who became the final authority of truth. People were then forced to hear the voice of men rather than the voice of God. And this Catholic model has pretty much permeated most of the Protestant denominations today. From the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the bishops decided what the Orthodox was by political force, compromise, scholarship, executions, and excommunications, rather than by divine revelation. Maybe they should have done as Moses and went to God in prayer seeking answers to unspecified matters of God's law. But that would have forced them to repent of their own pride. They began to establish church traditions in the same way the Pharisees had done 400 years earlier. Perhaps that is why the leaders of the Jews and Catholics accommodate each other so well today. They both make the word of God of none effect. Well, thanks to Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation, not to say it didn't have its own inherent problems, there once again was a modicum of a freedom of thought. With the American Revolution and the freedom of following one's own faith, in light of the religious persecutions they had come from in Europe, they could begin once again to hear the voice of God for themselves. This did not solve the ultimate problem we face today, but it made the many levels of Christian faith to be played on a level playing field. Our challenge as Christian identity is not only to hear the voice of God for ourselves with a racial consciousness, but also as a double witness that establishes all truth. What could be more pleasing to God than for His new covenant believers to hear His voice together as the flock of His fold and not organized religion, and thereby achieving true unity? Let us pray that Israel not fail the final test, as she did at the foot of Sinai? To whom much is given, much is required. An FCC requirement is to turn on, tune in, and drop out. Turn on your spiritual radios. Tune in to the voice of God and drop out of Babylon. The call letters are WWWG, the Worldwide Word of God. What's the FCC, you say? No, it's not federal. It's Father's communication commandment. Lord, grant unto your people Israel in this evil day of the blind leading the blind, that they have eyes and ears to better understand thee, and that they hide not from your presence when your voice calls them. May we turn once again to our good shepherd, who loves us as his own. Amen.